What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 574th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Greg.
Hello. Welcome to 574. One away from 575. A big number. Will we do anything for it? No.
No. We'll save it for 600.
Because it's 600 is the one you need to focus on. 75. And we are so past those quarter marks. They're nothing now.
Been around the block
a few times.
Speaking about going around the block, Hannah's here.
Kinda. I've been playing the new Pokemon Go event. That's the closest I get.
You got that new shirt on.
Though. I do. I hate it. I want to love it.
Oh, boy.
It's one of my favorite colors. I love the design. I have no idea why the center of the design isn't on my solar plexus. It needs to be up higher. I may try and get it adjusted. No.
It absolutely does need to be higher, but I think that's how all of them are.
But it's bad, and they should
fix it. No, I know it's bad. I know it's bad, but...
It would be one of my favorite Pokemon shirts ever if the design was just 3 inches higher.
I understand now. For our audio listeners, it's just the design is very low on the shirt.
Yeah, it's not very, like Superman logo. It's center of the Pokeball is on your... Yeah.
It is very center of your body, which it's is just not awkward. Where you want your designs
very
to be.
Very Poliwhirl.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it's Poliwhirl.
Yes, it's very Poliwhirl and not Superman.
Got it.
And it needs to be more Superman and less Poliwhirl.
Exactly.
Okay, we do have some stuff to talk about. New TCG stuff, Pokemon panel at Comic-Con, that's like the first time ever. Maybe we'll get to the Pokemon Forum stuff again. I don't even know if they still exist. We should check that. But before we get to that, speaking of Pokemon Go, the Pokemon Go Plus is officially released. And as of recording this podcast at 3 p.m. on a Sunday, Pokemon Sleep is available in New Zealand. So who knows how fast it will get to everyone else? Who knows? But
I think that Pokemon Sleep will get around here before my Go Plus Plus does. I can say that.
That thing is never... I'm never getting that thing.
Where did you order
this?
Nintendo.
Yeah, but did your Nintendo ship? Because mine said it shipped Friday.
Yes, it shipped, but it says it's supposed to get here on Thursday.
It did not ship. It has not yet shipped. I have to remember that I should never order from Nintendo.
Yes. If there's a lesson to be learned here from anything.
I always remember that after, and I'm like, well, I don't really care how quickly I get this device. And that sort of holds true. But I forget just how bad they are running a shop business, because I called them. I'm like, it has not even processed. They're like, well, it doesn't come out until tomorrow. I said, correct, but you know it's coming out tomorrow, so why have you not started this process? Because it doesn't come out till tomorrow. Yeah, but you know it's coming. You could do all of this in preparation. You could get ahead of the curve. Well, we know you'll see it. I'm like, you know what? We're done. Fine. I'm not. We don't need to speak anymore.
I don't. Oh, no, mine does say Thursday. Okay.
Preparing to ship. Preparing to ship.
Yeah, I mean, like, it should come at no surprise that, like, nothing from Pokemon Center or Nintendo will ever hit release date. Maybe if you're, like, super lucky. Maybe, like, if you're in throwing distance of, like, Reggie Fils-Aimé's arm, it will, like, get there.
He doesn't even do it anymore.
Yeah, no, he's retired.
He retired. He retired his pitching arm.
But also, like, I was at Mall of America yesterday because my life is unfortunate and I have to end up there a lot. Look, there's just a lot of stores that they have all in one place.
There's a better. You just go to Southdale. The prices are cheaper and it's a better mall.
But yeah, I always do a lap though. Like, it gives me like I do my lap. I get my sip club. I hit up the stores. Easy in, easy out. It's actually really easy to get. Well, on a weekday, it's very easy to get in and out of Mall America. At a weekend,
nope.
<That's> another thing coming.
Denied.
But GameStop had a bunch. They had like six on their shelf. And I was like, I guess I'll, like, I want to talk about it on the show, and I already have like a handful coming to me, so I guess I'll pick it up because they literally have it in shelves, which is kind of crazy to think about because, one, it sold out everywhere at Best Buy, Nintendo, where Pokemon Center, like it was sold out everywhere. Even though I think all three of us pre-ordered in what, March? February?
February.
February 27th.
How do you pre-order something in February and then it still is late?
This is what I called customer service for. This is what I was saying to Nintendo customer service. How do you not know how to run a retail business?
How does GameStop out of all locations have them in stock?
And I honestly bet thought
Best Buy has them in stock too. Any place that is physical store that would need to get them in stock by release date, because that's who they care about getting them to by release date, they probably have them in stock.
So I did three at Best Buy because they went up on Best Buy in February. I did three. One for me when I lose one, and then one for me to keep in my box so then I can sell it alongside my Ancient Mew and then retire. Understand? You gotta let it appreciate a little bit. You gotta put it in the closet next to the Ancient Mew, next to your Burger King gold Pokeball coins. You gotta let it build up in value.
Like this Detective Pikachu cartridge that I inherited? Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
That's my it's only going up plan. It's only when two comes out, I'm going to sell this and say, look, it's moved on to its new owner. You can't speak to me. You need to speak to its new owner.
So I did in-store pickup for Best Buy back in February, and Thursday night they send me a push notification because I got the Best Buy app, and it's like, hey, just to let you know, your order's not quite ready, but we'll let you know tomorrow. And then tomorrow morning, then the next morning, it was like, let you know, it's not quite ready yet.
Okay, just to let you know.
And then it gave me an option to ship it to my house. And it was like, if you switch it to shipping, it'll be there on Wednesday. And I was like, okay, I either take Wednesday and you ship it, or I'm just going to keep getting this notification of not quite ready every 2 hours. Because they're not going to ship it on a Saturday or a Sunday, right? Like, it's not going to be there. I mean, if it does arrive, it's not like the weekend Best Buy employees are going to unpack those packages. So I don't know. I have one now. Did you, Hannah, wait, did you say you got yours or yours is still?
No, mine is coming on Thursday. I seriously considered going to a GameStop to try and get one in person, but I already purchased it and I don't want to go through the hassle of returning the Nintendo.
That's what
one.
I thought.
There
as well.
Is no amount of desire for anything that would ever say to myself, I'm going to go to a GameStop and pick this up. There is that. I know from the minute I walk into that door, I am having a miserable experience and I wish I had just waited. There's just no amount, none. Like, it's bad enough when I have to walk in there and get a code, much less go in there and buy something to be told about the 17 million pre-orders that I
get the next Call of Duty
one thing.
Sure. Next Call of Duty, next Madden, next Madden. FIFA.
Do you want to buy Final Fantasy? Not from you. I don't. I like the pictures. So the I did check to see if Target had any, and they have pictures of the product. And the one that is the strangest to me is just a pillow and a person's arm holding it on the pillow, pushing the button. And it makes no sense. It's just a detached arm on a pillow. What are you doing?
You're thinking about it though.
It's a sleep device.
It's good marketing.
But they have it next to the pillow in the next picture with nobody there.
So I have it here.
It buzzes real loud.
Yeah. Oh, it does. It does. Okay. So this is what I will say. The hardware, very nice. The size, not as big as I was expecting, although it is still rather large. It's rounded on the back, which I don't think any of the pictures really showed. So it is very hockey puck in its design, except round. I don't know. Are hockey pucks like
they're round?
Yeah, they're round around the circumference, but they're flat on top and bottom.
They're flat on top and bottom.
Yeah. So this is not. This is rounded top and bottom. I don't know what to call that. A cylinder? A disc?
They're domed.
Domed, yes. Double it is a domed. Domed on the top, domed on the bottom. What I don't like is when you put the wrist strap on, this is so hard for audio listeners. Whether we were doing a video podcast or not, I still have to explain this. When you put the wrist strap on and then you hold it, it ends up being upside down. But that is how you would hold it because of the wrist strap. If you were to turn it around, you just, I guess you could do that, but like the natural.
Put the wrist strap so it's on the back of your hand. So slide it around and then slide it through your fingers. Ta-da!
That seems bad. I'm not doing that.
I didn't say it was going to be good. I just said I had a fix. What do you offer me?
There are the buttons on the top, right? They couldn't put the wrist strap loop there.
The button is on the top. The button is by the wrist strap loop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Also, I'm not sure exactly what the top button does. It's there for pairing initially, so it's really easy to pair. You do have to unpair your current Pokeball Plus or your Pokemon Go Plus. So you have to unpair that first to get this to work. You press the button, and then it sees it, and then to confirm it, you press both buttons, and then it's good. I've seen some people talk about this on social media, and I didn't have the problem yesterday. I had that problem today, though. The problem is, like, sometimes it just doesn't work. And what I mean by that is, like, yesterday, you can... Okay, let's back up here. Let me explain what it does for $55. Beep, 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 beep. So it can do Pokeballs, Great Balls, and Ultra Balls. That's, like, new. That's what people were super excited about.
Yeah, that's what I was excited about.
It also spin stops, which is what the Pokeball did if you had a Pokemon in it. You can't put a Pokemon in here, so that's fine, whatever. But it will automatically still spin stops, and it will automatically catch Pokemon without you pressing the button, but only for Pokeballs. If you want to catch Pokemon using your Great Balls and your Ultra Balls, you can, but you have to press the button every time, which is like, whatever, fine. So yesterday when I was streaming with it, I did the, like, just Pokeballs, just do it for me, and it did, and it worked great, and it worked while I was driving. I had it in my pocket while I was driving, and like every 5 seconds it was like burp, burp, bzz, 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 bzz. And then like you get to like a stoplight, and then it goes crazy because like you're actually stopped, so bzz, 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 like nonstop. So like it's working while I'm driving, it's working while I'm walking. I did like a 2-hour stream yesterday, it worked. Today at Mall of America, it didn't work at all. I had it on, I had the same settings, like only like use the Pokeballs, auto catch. It wouldn't do anything without me pressing the button. I tried to repair it, disconnected. I tried to force quit the app. But even to spin a Pokestop, it wanted me to hit the button.
Interesting.
For 2 hours, I couldn't fix it. I just kept hitting the button because I was like, well, I'm here. And like,
yeah, that feels like it's defaulting to the original Go Plus settings.
Correct. Yeah. So I tried to disconnect it. I tried to restart the app. I tried to do everything. But that's what I saw people talk about yesterday. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. It worked perfectly for me. And then all of a sudden, like, oh,
nope.
And now I'm having the problem that everyone else is having, which is also, it just buzzes really loud.
I've heard it buzzes really, really loud. I heard it's a loud buzzer.
You know, like, throughout our journey of the Pokeball Plus and the Pokemon Go Plus, there have been times where it hasn't worked and there has to be updates. It's a relatively new product. I mean, it does work. It doesn't work maybe 100% of the time, but it does work. I do think it is the best of the three, though. Design-wise, comfort-wise.
I have heard that it is about 1 second slower with each thing, with catching Pokemon, with spinning stops. I've heard that it's about 1 second slower than the Pokeball Plus. And so if you're using it for a very long period of time, that can stack up.
I feel like it's faster. I feel like yesterday I was like...
Was it faster when it worked?
Yes. When it worked yesterday, it felt super fast.
But did it feel that way when you had to press the button?
No. Today it did not feel that way. But if I could review this off of yesterday's experience, I would be like 100% worth the $55. This is a really common question, and I actually want to answer it before I forget. People are like, I'm not hardcore enough. Should I buy this? I actually think it fits both markets. Like, if you're hardcore, I think it's, of course, because you're addicted to Pokemon Go. You love it. You know, you breathe it. You sleep with it. Well, theoretically, yeah, technically, you can't sleep with this.
Technically, yes, you can.
So, yes, I think if you're hardcore, you should buy it. If you're casual, I still 100% think it's worth it, because I've played with so many casual people who only do community day for like an hour, but then they're still there for the other 2 hours. And I think it's just so great to like turn this on and put it in your pocket and go about your day. Even when I was streaming yesterday, that's because I'm like streaming with a camera and I'm like trying to walk and I'm trying to talk to people. Like, even in that situation, it's just nice to be like, okay, it's working, it's catching. You guys can see it catching, but I can like watch where I'm going and I can explain what we're looking at. And I think it's great for casual people too. Like, I 100% think it's worth it in that aspect.
I mean, I liked my one, because when I get tired of community day, I was just like, I'm going on easy mode. I'm tired of checking these things. I'm just going to catch for a while because I'm done. I'm done holding my phone. I'm done looking at my phone. I'm done. I just want to like have an hour of me just existing in the world and occasionally pushing a button.
It's honestly one of my favorite ways to play Pokemon Go, which sounds silly, but I love going on long walks and just having an audiobook or a podcast or something playing in headphones and not having to focus on the thing in my hand while my ears are also occupied. I like being able to just be pressing the button, or in this case, I would be able to have it automatically just be catching Pokemon as I'm listening to my thing and walking around and enjoying the walk. It's a great time, and you can catch a bunch of Pokemon and even potentially shinies, and I saw one person caught a legendary Galarian bird with it recently.
That's crazy.
I saw a post.
Did they have it set for Ultra Ball or?
Nope, normal Pokeball.
Dang. It's hilarious. It's a chance.
The other thing is you can sleep with it without Pokemon Go. And online, it's like really hard to understand the verbiage they use, especially since it's advertised for Pokemon Sleep. But I did it last night. It worked. So when you first pair it, it will ask you what your like reward time is, or like the time that you normally check Pokemon Go in the morning. So I said like 11 a.m. That's normally when I wake up. And so when you go to bed, you're supposed to hold the button. Actually, let me see if I can do it here. It's not going to work, is it?
It should.
I mean, it lit up for half a second.
There we go. I don't know if you guys can hear Pikachu singing.
I can sort of hear Pikachu singing.
So you hold it, and then he starts singing a lullaby, which is really long, by the way. I don't know if there's a way to stop him from singing this lullaby. But
you can press the button once, is what I've heard. You have to manually press the button to stop the Pikachu from singing.
So I thought that would cancel.
No, you have to hold it down again to have it cancel.
Okay. So after he's still doing his lullaby here. He keep going. Okay, he's done. So now this is in sleep mode, just this device is, and you need to still have at least a 90-minute nap for this to count. But when you're done sleeping, you hold the button again, and he goes, Pika Pika, because he's awake. And then when it gets to your reward time, so like I woke up at 9 a.m. this morning, so he went, Pika Pika. And then at 11, I got my rewards, which was one sticker, 1700 Stardust, and then like something else.
Buddy Hearts.
Oh yeah,
it's
Buddy Hearts.
Yep.
And there was a little Trumbeak flying in the sky, and then it was like, you slept for 5 hours. I don't know if the birds in the sky change depending on your sleep. But that, from my understanding, has nothing to do with sleep. So like when sleep comes out, I'm not going to be able to like backtrack my history of sleep from my understanding. That's, I think, what they told me in New York when I went. That is just a way for you to get those rewards in Pokemon Go. So I don't know fully. I guess we'll probably know probably in the next 24 to 48 hours if that's how it fully works with sleep, or if I just go into sleep and I say like, hey, I'm going to sleep. Do I have to still hold this button down and listen to the lullaby? And I don't know. It is cool that it works, and like 1700 Stardust for like kind of doing nothing is pretty awesome.
And if you're going for that get a heart with your buddy for 20 days in a row still, this makes it a little easier potentially.
Yeah.
But I am confused about how full-featured it is with the Pokemon, with the sleep aspect in Pokemon Go, and I sure hope you don't have to log your sleep separately in Pokemon Go and Pokemon Sleep once the actual Pokemon Sleep app is out.
Yeah, that's my worry too, is I don't want to log it twice.
Yeah.
If it works as is, like if I just have to, you know, go to sleep in the Sleep app and then it works with Go Sleep seamlessly, that's awesome. Obviously, right now, I don't have Sleep. I just have Go, so it's fine.
If I'd have to log it twice, I feel like I'd default to just using Go and let the Sleep app alone, just not use it.
Well, here's the question, Hannah. Are you excited to pay $10 a month to play Pokemon Sleep? Yes or no?
No.
Nope.
I'm not even going to do that.
Absolutely not.
I thought I might try, but I already pay for a different sleep app, so I'm not adding another $10 a month for sleep tracking.
How much is that other sleep app?
$6 a month.
Yeah. So $60 a year.
There are not.
Well, 10. I'm assuming there's a discount if you do a year. That would be my guess. I'm just automatically thinking there's a discount. Full disclosure, maybe you've already seen my YouTube video. Pokemon invited me out to New York. They paid for my hotel and they paid for my flight. They did not pay for my $80 Uber ride from my hotel to JFK. That was on me.
Ouch.
Welcome to New York!
They did not pay for my $80 Uber ride. That was fine, though. I took the subway initially in, which was cool, but we had so much stuff to take back. I just didn't want to bring on the subway, and we were already really short on time. Which, like, would have been fine on the subway unless we, like, missed or, like, took, you know, I just didn't want to be late. Anyways, the second they said pricing, I thought to myself, this is the thing people are going to be upset about. Even if they've never played it, they're going to be upset. I don't know if you guys have any questions for me in regards to that, but I did look up the number one sleep app in the Apple App Store is $50 a year, which is very different than $100 a year, which is what Pokemon Sleep would cost you if you did a full year. And the number two sleep app in the Apple App Store was $70 a year. So again, not even, well, 70 is closer to 100, but I'm just going to go on a whim and guess that the actual sleep apps that are number one and number two are probably better sleep apps than Pokemon Sleep will be. But also, I don't think they have a game to them, so maybe.
The game aspect is what sets Pokemon Sleep apart. I think if it's the same as when I last looked into it, the two best sleep trackers that you can have for your phone are going to be the ones with external devices that track things like your heart rate. So that's going to be the sleep on the Apple Watch, and that's going to be the sleep that's attached to this little ring that I have, since I have one of those sleep rings. And so you actually have to have the physical device that tracks your body, and those are going to be the most accurate ones. And anything else is going to use the same sorts of stats that Pokemon Sleep does. So it's going to be roughly the same in accuracy.
Greg, you're paying the $10, right?
That's too much money.
What would you pay? What would you pay?
Well, I wouldn't. Like, the game inside would have to be so amazing, because I don't pay for any mobile game, period. I don't. Like, I play Masters every day, and I think I've given them money once, and I gave them $20. I'm like, yeah, this game is worth $20. I'm out.
You haven't even, I think you only gave Unite $20 too, right?
I've only given Unite $20 too. Thanks. I'm out. I generally don't feel that there is enough there for me to pay more money for that. Like, I don't have huge, I'm not worried about my sleep. I'm not worried about my sleep quality. I'm not worried about tracking my sleep. None of that is a part of my day-to-day life. I tracked my sleep for like 6 months with a device that my husband kickstarted during his massive kickstarting phase. And I was like, yep, I slept the time that I was asleep. Yep, I knew that already. And you're taking a guess at how restful that was. I feel fine and I don't feel exhausted. And I never really feel exhausted. That type of game either has to be better than the things that I am paying roughly $100 a month for, which is generally Final Fantasy 14 or a main series game, which I pay $60 once and then the DLC is 30 and I need that level of gameplay, or I'm out. I also don't know what you're doing with my data.
Okay, I asked that specific question. I was the one that asked that. Because they had the game director, I think, was there. They zoomed him in from Japan. So it was like 8 a.m. his time. You can tell that he was probably going to use Pokemon Sleep after our meeting. But I did ask, like, hey, you know, people are already upset about, like, location data in Pokemon Go and how that's being used. Obviously, your sleep is related to health, and health is really personal. What are you guys doing with our health data? Or what would you tell somebody who is concerned about your health data? And they said that Pokemon Sleep will not share any sleep data or sell with any third parties. And the data will be uploaded anonymously to Pokemon Sleep. And if you look at the current Pokemon privacy policy for your country, they're not changing it for sleep. Now, that's going to be different than Niantic's policy, private privacy policy, but they said that they're following the current Pokemon privacy policy for this game. And then you can upload, or it does record your noises, like if you're snoring and stuff. That doesn't get shared with anyone. They don't actually do anything with that data. And that the sleeping noises that you make are for you and only you to listen back to, and they will expire after 24 hours. So they're not doing anything with your snoring data. They don't even look at your snoring data.
They don't get to hear what you say in your sleep.
Yeah. So I don't know if that makes anyone feel any better.
I mean, I will cover it very quickly. I'm on their privacy policy. They will use it for business operations, product and service delivery, personalized marketing, product improvement, communications, security of services, and customer support. They say they do not share the personal information with third party other than as follows. If you consent to it, for third party vendors that need that personal information that do the work for business purposes, to comply with certain laws, or in connection with or any negotiation of any merger, financing, acquisition, bankruptcy, blah, 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 blah. So unlike Niantic's, which does say, you know, anonymized stuff goes somewhere, which is their loophole, they don't show anything like anonymous stuff is sent outside of their company. So at least on their current privacy page, they don't do anything with the anonymous aggregate stuff, at least what they have listed in their privacy policy.
Yeah, and he answered me directly, and that's what he said. He said, current privacy policy will be the same for Pokemon Sleep. But he did say, like, hey, our privacy policy is probably slightly different in Japan than it is in the United States, that it is in, you know, Nigeria, that is Germany. I posted my little Instagram short of, like, here's everything that the premium $10 gets you. And of course, some of the comments were like, they're charging us money and selling our data. It's like, well, it doesn't matter what I say. You know, people are going to believe. Right. Yeah. So that's up to you, listener. I'm not here to convince you. I'm just telling you what the game director told me. I asked that question. And if it makes you feel good, cool. If it doesn't, look, I get it as well. Like, I'm not here to convince you.
So is the game playable at all without paying the $10?
Yes. Yeah. It is. You are not paying to win, because I don't know what you're really winning.
You're winning sleep.
I said this multiple times in my YouTube video, which is like 50 minutes. I answer a bunch of questions. I will say it here. It is paying to speed things up. And that's pretty much it.
Which I don't really get. I feel like I want to be able to use this for as long as possible.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think part of me, this is just me personally, I think part of me is when I do pay for a game, I feel like there's like a sunk cost fallacy at that point where I feel like I'm obligated to play it even more because I paid. I don't know if the value is there. Like when Greg said, I pay $60 for a main series game, and I think, well, this is $100, and I don't think that's going to, I don't think this is going to have more content than Scarlet and Violet. I will say, though, there was way more content than I thought. There's so many items you can pick up.
It's an actual game.
There's 100 Pokemon at the start. I think they said that there's supposed to be 400 Pokemon eventually. It is Gen 1 through Gen 9. You know, I already saw Gen, like I got a Gen 3. I got Gulpin was when I woke up. There is inventory management. There's Pokemon storage. Obviously, you can collect Pokemon.
Inventory management. I am hardcore out.
Yeah,
I am so out.
It is like Pokemon Go, where your bag has a storage limit, your Pokemon storage has a limit, and then something else has a limit. But similar to Magikarp Jump, I only gave Magikarp Jump, I think, like $5 or something. I think Magikarp Jump had like a welcome package or whatever for $5, and I did that. Magikarp Jump was so playable without giving it money, and it feels like this game is really, really playable without giving it money. I'm worried that me personally would have the Animal Crossing effect, which is I'm going to play it every day, and the day I miss one day is going to domino into missing more days, into then just not playing because I feel like I'm so far behind.
Yep.
Which I don't know any other game that has that. I don't know if I've coined that word, the Animal Crossing effect. I think everyone knows what I'm talking about when I say that.
I'm not sure what you can get behind on, though. It's not quite the same as Animal Crossing.
So yeah, the game director said that like individual sleep sessions are not that important. So if you have a dog or a cat or you have a significant other in your bed, you shouldn't stress out or be worried that like might mess up your day. He said what is more important is like going to bed at the same time and then doing it every day. So you will get like a daily check-in every morning when you check in with Snorlax. But then you'll get a weekly one. And the weekly one is the thing that like you really want. And that's going to reward you for like all week. So that's why I do go back to like the Animal Crossing effect. Because like if you're on day 5 and then you miss day 6, you're just like, I ruined my week. Like I missed it. But again, I only played the game for, you know, I only slept once. And I was still in like hardcore tutorial mode because they make you catch a starter. At least everyone in my party, they like everyone either like I got like 2 Mankeys, a Caterpie, a Bulbasaur, and like a Gulpin, and it made me catch the Bulbasaur. And then everyone else was like, yeah, it made me catch Charmander, it made me catch Squirtle. So your first day is kind of predetermined of like you'll get one of the 3 starters and that what will be the forced catch. But on the second day, ideally, if I got 2 Mankeys, I should be able to catch one if I have biscuits or Pokeballs to like calm them down and all that stuff. The other thing is like shinies are in the game, which we found out from a data mine, and somebody at the event asked the director like, hey, how do we shiny hunt in this game? And the sigh of disappointment he did in front of us was both amazing and funny at the same time. Like I like it wasn't like surprising to me, but he was just like, we haven't talked about shinies. I'm not going to confirm or deny if they're shinies, but if there is shinies, we want our trainers to like find that out and have that be fun for them to discover instead of just giving you how to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is near your little tent. You can put down like 2 incense. I got 1 incense for free, like just like Pokemon Go. And then the incense is supposed to, like, when you go to sleep, attract more Pokemon. And obviously you can buy more incense. I don't know. I'm sure you could pay real money for them, but you can use the in-game currency to also buy them. I don't know if there is a shiny hunting method, but I don't know how method hunting a game that requires you to go to sleep would be. But like, if
this is my ideal shiny hunting method. I was born for this. I can sleep anywhere at any time. Let's shiny hunt for 7 hours. Good night.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like, if you sleep longer, you'll increase the chance. Because if it is you just sleep longer, increase the chance, then people are just going to like not tell their phone they woke up until like the maximum thing, right? Like,
nah, they're just going to go into medical induced comas.
Right? Like, you can take 1 nap during the day, but it has to be 60 minutes. But if people want to gamify this or, like, I don't know, cheat, I don't know why they wouldn't be cheating. It would just be, like, just say you're napping for 9 hours and then just after 9 hours, just hit that you woke up and then just go back to sleep for another 9 hours. Like you can like, I don't know what to call it. Like loophole.
You can
the
game the game.
Yeah. You can game the game, I guess, if you really want to, but what are you going to, I don't know. It's my worry is like, I want to use it as is because I don't want to stress out about like, I don't want to stress out about everything else because at that point I'm just going to check out of the game. Like it's supposed to be a game. So I want to have fun. And the second I start thinking like, oh, I'm behind, or oh my gosh, Greg has 30 Pokemon in his Pokédex and I only have 28. Maybe I should sleep an extra 2 hours tonight. Like it's just really silly to think about. Also, they said the ideal sleep was 8.5 hours. That seems really long. I thought 7 to 8 was like the standard.
Let's walk away from what ideal is because it is highly individual.
Yep.
On average, and we are talking on average, when you take literally a billion people and average it out, it's between 7 to 8 hours is the sleep resting area. There are people who are completely rested at 5. There are people who are not rested unless they slept 10. Like it is on average, it is like most things involving your body, highly personal. The best way to figure out what your actual sleep duration is to do a 2-week vacation, because the second week, if you just allow yourself to sleep, is when you will finally find out how long you're supposed to be sleeping.
Yep, I don't have any qualms with any of those statements. I will say, however, that it does vary over the course of your lifetime.
And it does vary. It will change.
As you're younger, you generally need more sleep. And as you get older, you still need sleep, but it becomes harder to sleep.
Well, it also, as you get older, it...
You need a little bit less.
You sleep in shorter durations as well. So you will sleep for 5 hours, wake up, sleep again. That's why you have a lot of grandparents are like, I went to bed at 8. I got up at 1 a.m. I made 7 pies and then I went back to sleep because that is.
How did you know what I did last night?
I have cameras everywhere. But that happens. Like when I say I've gotten to the age where I'm now waking up at 4, it's because I'm getting to the age where I need less chunks of sleep. Before my body is like, hey, we need to take care of this thing. And then we're going to put you right back to sleep because I will get up, use the restroom and then immediately go back to sleep. But like my grandma would go to sleep at 8. We would get messages from her at like 2 a.m. because she's wandering around making things. And then we're like, well, we can't call her again because she went back to bed at 3 and she's not going to wake up until 10. Like your sleep varies wildly. And also the amount of sleep you need, your sleep cycle will also change. So some people will have a sleep cycle of 1 hour. Some people will have a sleep cycle of 1.5 hours. So like if you take a nap, you could be a 60-minute napper, a 90-minute napper. It depends on when your cycle ends, about how rested you will feel when you wake up. And that is also highly individual.
Which has to do with the varying alarm clock that I know you mentioned in your stream and video, Steve, mm-hmm. that you can set a window for the alarm?
No, it's a toggle that you hit. Okay. And I can't remember what it's called, like smart wake up, I think they called it.
Yeah.
So when you set your alarm, which I set mine for, I think, 7:30, there, if it's, from my understanding, this is what it said in the app. It said, like, if it senses you to, like, wake up a little bit before that, it will then just trigger the alarm then, so you don't go back into, which I've heard from, like, other studies of, like, if you're naturally waking up and then you, like, doze back, it's, like, kind of harder to get up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because if you've dozed back and your alarm goes off in the middle of your next sleep cycle, you are trying to get out of a very different type of sleep than when your natural rhythm has hit the time where your body's like, should we wake up? No.
So I don't
think I can catch it. Great.
I don't know if that worked for me in my instance, because one, I was in a hotel bed, so I wasn't sleeping amazingly anyways. Two, I had the fear of missing my morning meeting where I had to like give back my phone and then like go over my results with them. So I don't know if I would just woke up naturally or if it was like, oh my gosh, did I ever sleep?
I have had really good uses of that kind of feature in the past. I used an app for maybe a few years back in middle school that did that, where it woke me up when I started moving in the morning, close-ish to my alarm. And I definitely felt more rested with that alarm than with a set time that was just the same time every day. So I'm looking forward to that feature.
Yeah, I was impressed with the... It seemed like there was a lot of game there. And they did kind of stress multiple times that it's not a health app. It's a game.
I think that's just because if they use the words health app, then they're liable for so much more.
They're liable for a lot.
So they did say that they worked with like this famous Japanese sleep professor. And then like the translator girl who works for, I think she works for Select Button. She was like, he's like really well known in Japan, and she gave his name and she gave what like college, university, whatever that he attended. And she was like, it was like really exciting that he was working on it because apparently he's a big deal in Japan. But like that was, he like, not like the reference, the person they would go to for.
Probably an advisor.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, he was the advisor. So she seemed like genuinely excited, and she was great. She like did all the translations for the game director and for us and everything. And going back to like the game, it's just like some people don't even nap. So like, are other people going to have an advantage in this non-competitive game because they do nap versus people that don't nap? Like, I do worry the social, almost like stress around like I feel behind in this game because I'm not doing it properly or not doing it right for a game that is supposed to be like developing you healthy habits. It does seem like a stressful game of like, am I going to get a shiny? I didn't get any new Pokemon last night. Oh, maybe I didn't sleep long enough, or like I don't take a nap, but maybe I should. Like, I just want to try to enjoy it.
I'm just going to go at it as this is an extra button I press when I go to bed.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's Pokemon in the morning. That's cool.
I'm gonna game the heck out of this thing. I got my nap schedules planned. I got my time to bed. I got my time to rise all set. I'm going to blow you people away, and I'm never going to pay a dollar for it.
I do really like that it values consistency when you go to bed. Not only do I think that that's a good idea, but I also know that it's one of the things I'm particularly bad at, so I'm hoping this helps.
Yeah, I think this game is like really ambitious. I think it's really cool. I don't know if this is gonna be like a 10-year game, you know what I mean? I don't know if this is gonna be another Pokemon Go or a Pokemon Masters or a Pokemon Unite.
I mean, Magikarp Jump is still out.
That's true.
It still exists.
Not everything has to be long-lasting for it to have value.
Yeah.
Also true.
I don't think it works. I think this was asked. I don't think it works with Apple HealthKit or Google HealthKit. I think I would be more, I would be almost more willing if I guess if I cared about my sleep data more. Because if you were using one app that tracked your sleep, and then you decided to switch to another app, like the hot new app that came out, maybe it's cheaper, it would continue in Apple Health to be like, you don't skip a beat for like losing that data, you know, no matter what app you switch to, it's still recorded there. So they did talk about like potentially working with that. They were like, it's just not a focus right now. Same with like Apple Watch support or Google Pixel Watch support for Fitbit. They were like, yeah, it's something on our radar. It's something we want to look into. It's just like we were focused on getting this out and, you know, for people to try it and enjoy it. So I don't know. A lot of like maybes in the future, but also like, how many people are going to give it $10 a month? And will that make development faster or slower or scrap this or keep going? Like, I don't know. I think the $10 a month is asking a whole lot for... I read all the rewards and I was like, man, some of these are super vague. Like, what does that mean? Like, also $100
maybe, a year. If the maybe on being able to put these Pokemon you find when you're sleeping into Pokemon Home becomes a feature... then maybe paying for it each month would be more more lucrative. But
yeah,
but that's, I didn't even think of that being a potential thing until I heard someone ask the question.
Yeah. I think that would be nice. That would be a cool feature.
If you find a shiny in Pokemon Sleep, it would be neat to be able to put it in home.
Yes. And not to leave it in sleep forever.
Yeah. And because you do have to, like, I think attempt to catch it. There are Pokeballs, Great Balls, Master Balls, Ultra Balls in the game.
Luxury Balls?
I didn't see that.
I'm out. We're done.
I didn't see Premier either.
Oh, we're really done.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, like, when it comes to shinies and when it comes to just Pokemon games in general, they're always so RNG-based. So it's like, what do you have to do to get one to appear? When it appears, do you even have, like, the biscuits or the Pokeballs to get it? Like, I don't. Who knows?
We will see.
I hope it's... it's coming from Select Button, the same people who make Magikarp Jump. And I thought Magikarp Jump was brilliant. So the game side of things, I think they're really good at making a gameplay loop that you're excited to come back to. It's just like the question of what a week of rewards look like, or are you going to log in every day to do this? It doesn't look like the game's asking a lot of your time, which can be either good or bad depending. But yeah, you're not going to be able to like sit there for like 8 hours and be like, okay, grind out Pokemon Sleep. Like, you're just going to run out of things to do relatively quickly. But I'm sure by the time this podcast goes up, more people will have access to it and it will start rolling out for everyone. But yeah, let's take a break. When we get back, we have some other news to talk about. So we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Every Plate. Looking to budget your food expenses this summer? Get more bang for your bite with America's Best Value Meal Kit. Every Plate is 25% cheaper, 25, than grocery shopping. No hidden fees, great value that you can count on, delivering you week after week. Unless you want to pause a week, you can do that too. Plus, you only pay for what you need with pre-portioned ingredients. I've been doing this Every Plate train for over a year. Still love it. Still getting the spicy chicken, still getting the mac and cheese, still getting the caramelized onion burgers, although I don't put the caramelized onions on my burger. But you could. They're there. They're great. They smell good, at least. I'm just not a big onion fan. But if you are a big onion fan, the caramelized burgers, I can confirm the burger is awesome. Choosing Every Plate over takeout will help you save money while still enjoying quick, satisfying meals. Their meals are 50% cheaper than your average fast casual meal, and those fast casual meals have only been going up in price. Every Plate provides plenty of delicious variety, so you will never get the same stuff unless you want the same stuff. There will be over 26 tasty and affordable recipes that you can choose from each week. This will include 15 minutes or less dinners and breakfasts. Plus, you can add on more options, including up to 22 different sides, lunches, snacks, desserts, and more. We keep going with Every Plate because we love Every Plate. Haven't had a bad meal since. And if you don't want a bad meal, you can get $1.49 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering code SUPEREFFECTIVE49. Get started with Every Plate for just $1.49 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and enter the code SUPEREFFECTIVE49. Hey, are you listening to the podcast using the Apple Podcast app? Well, you're in luck. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can go into the app and you can get a free 2-week trial to our premium feed. That is going to get you bonus episodes directly in your app without doing anything besides hitting that button that you want to sign up. It's also going to get you a 2-week free trial. So on top of getting more episodes in your feed every single month, you are also going to get ad-free episodes every single week. You wouldn't be hearing this ad right now because you would be on the premium feed and you could skip the ads. So if you want to support It's Super Effective and you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, check out the app. You'll be able to start a 2-week free trial. You can listen to our backlog. You can listen to future episodes ad-free. If you like it, stick around. One of the best ways you can support the show. And we are back from our break. I think this is a big deal. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I feel like most Comic-Con stuff is kind of a big deal. Pokemon having a panel at Comic-Con is a big deal. I doubt the information in it will be a big deal.
What is very interesting is due to the actors and writers strike, this may be one of the only panels that actually has people from the company that's allowed to go.
Oh, because like, for example, if like Sarah Natocheni was still doing the anime, she might be invited out, but she should be a part of the...
She cannot go due to, I guarantee she's part of SAG.
Yeah.
Because it's screen acting. Voiceovers are part of the Screen Actors Guild and would be not allowed to go promote anything. So Comic-Con...
This might be a bad Comic-Con is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Like Comic-Con, none of the actors can go. None. And none of the writers can go. So it's just probably producers.
There's some value in producing.
Some.
I would like to hear from some producers.
I guarantee you most people don't know who the producers are of most of your shows. And since a lot of actors also produce those shows, they also can't go because they would be crossing the picket line. So I'm excited because a lot of people will probably be going to a Pokemon panel full of people, unlike a lot of the other ones.
For those that don't know, this is off the official Pokemon website. This is their press release here. Pokemon reveals plans for Comic-Con International, featuring first ever panel celebrating the legacy and future of its iconic animation. The Pokemon Company International to provide behind-the-scenes insights. This could just be a video they have ready, too, by the way.
Yeah, it could be. It really could be.
Into how it delivers animation from Japan to fans around the world, including Pokemon Ultimate Journeys, the series finale, and the upcoming Pokemon Horizons, the series. Additional fan-focused Pokemon experiences will also be available during Comic-Con International. This will take place Thursday, July 20th, from 11:45 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. in room 6BCF, very easy to remember, on the San Diego Convention. Panel will offer behind-the-scenes looks at animation, localization. There is also a special collection including Ash and Pikachu's story. We know about that in Japan. I think that was 11 episodes, so they're going to talk about that a little bit. And then they talk about Liko and Roy for Pokemon Horizons. And quote, Comic-Con International is the premier pop culture event and the perfect place to celebrate these icons who have made an indelible mark on popular culture. As we embark on this new chapter, we invite attendees to join as we share never-before-seen insights on how we localize this series for trainers to enjoy their favorite stories and characters. There will also be a Jazzware Spotlight panel hosted by Pokemon Master toy licensing partner Jazzwares. Now, I don't think they're on strike. I think the toy industry is still pumping out toys.
Yeah, the toy industry is not on strike. Not yet.
They could join. Like, hey, why
they
not?
They could join. Look, UPS is primed to join in about 2 weeks. So yep. The world is going to come to a screeching halt.
They could join. Jazzwares is like very hit and miss with some of their toys. Yeah. But for the most part, their toys are fine. Outside of the panels, trainers will be able to engage with Pokemon brand throughout the various experiences on the show floor, such as photo opportunities, fan-focused giveaways, and product previews at the Jazzwares booth, the Mattel booth, and the Bandai Namco booth. They will feature Pokemon products from Bandai Spirits and Kawada, respectfully. I'd never heard of that brand, but okay. Those will be unique to the Comic-Con International attendees. In addition, trainers can purchase official Pokemon merchandise unique to Comic-Con at Jazzwares and Mattel's booths. Lastly, publishing partner Insights Editions will pass out recipe cards for its upcoming Pokemon baking booth at booth 2129 while supplies last. That seems pretty cool.
Pokemon baking book, not booth. So this is something that people can get.
They're coming out with a Pokemon baking book and they will have stuff.
Screenwriters and actors and voice actors being on strike, which completely, yes, they should be. They should be getting paid more. Yes. A lot of people should be getting paid more for what they do.
Correct.
Just all across the board, people deserve to get paid money.
Strike soon to demand
Podcasting?
We need codes.
We don't need... Jeff Bezos doesn't need, like, a 30th yacht. It's fine. People should get paid appropriately. Besides that, it sounds like this is really cool.
Yeah.
With what they're doing. I do know... I think the Jazzwear... They have, like, a starter figure collection that will only be at Comic-Con. They're only, like, making, yeah, like, 500 of them.
It looks real cool.
It's really cool. So, if you are going... That's cool for you. If you don't get one, probably somebody scalped it, and that sucks. But, like, I'm going to guess this Comic-Con thing is, because of how the Pokemon company works, I'm going to guess it's mostly pre-recorded. And you're going to walk into a room, you're going to sit down, they're going to hit play, there might be a very small Q&A, but what's going to happen is if they're like, we have 15 minutes for Q&A, somebody's going to get up there and ask the world's longest question that, yep, will give you the simplest answer, and you'll be like, ah, you wasted the whole Q&A. Like, thanks, man. Like, why didn't Ash and Gary hold hands in episode 1024?
They did. It was cut out to the censors. Next question.
Is Ash and Serena, did they have Liko? It says, hey, you know the weird, sorry. Not, they showed... In the second part of Pokemon Horizons, this is not a spoiler, I promise you, don't worry. I'm trying to avoid spoilers as well. But the second part of Pokemon Horizons is coming out in Japan. And on the poster, they showed Kabu. So they showed a Gen 8 gym leader appearing in the series. And so that might be our first sign that, like, nothing, like, this is the same universe, like, nothing has happened. Like, Kabu is already pretty old, right? Like, he doesn't look younger, and he doesn't look older, he looks exactly like he does. Which my dream, my fan fiction of the Pokemon anime, is that Liko sees Ash as champion, and then she eventually wants to battle Ash. And I think that would be cool. That would be a cool
How
way to bring
old
back
is
Ash.
Kabu?
I don't...
Once you get past a certain age, you don't age as fast as people think you do. Like, believe me. People are like, what?
It would be weird in their universe. I mean, they definitely... Obviously, time travel exists. We have Hoopa and we have Celebi. And
Celebi.
We have a bunch of things that can make time distortion things happen, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you've done 27 years of these gym leaders always look like these gym leaders forever, it would be weird to start aging up or down in a future anime. Kabu being Kabu, realizing that, oh, Kabu didn't appear in any of the last 3 years. He's here now, or he will be here. I don't know. I don't want to overthink it too much. I just thought it was interesting.
Kabu is officially middle-aged, whatever that means. I am officially middle-aged as well.
So is he like 35 and he's a millennial and he's like, yep, struggling to get a job right now and not getting paid, like, enough? Is that what we're saying for Kabu?
Yeah, absolutely. Kabu is a millennial. Because the funny thing is we know Opal is 88.
Yeah.
Because they state that. But then... And we know that Melody has to be at least in her 30s because she has a son around 20.
Have you never seen Super Sweet 16 on MTV?
I said, he's 20. She has to be at least in her 30s. Somewhere in her 30s.
Wait, we know for sure that dude's 20. I can't remember his name.
Gordy. I think he's supposed to be, he might be 19 or 20. He's okay. in there somewhere. And like, I think they say Milo is 17, which is like, what?
Yeah, you gotta have that
if
farmer
they say
strength.
So.
And Nessa's 21.
Yeah. And then isn't the ghost boy like the youngest gym leader ever?
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, Scarlet and Violet, they had to like up that by making an even younger Elite Four member for whatever reason.
Worst. Because, like, Alistair is supposed to be around the same age as you as the character and the rivals. So, somewhere in the 11 to
12.
14, 15.
Oh, yeah, because I think they upped him to 14.
Yeah.
At one point. Okay, well, talking about more products here, speaking of Tinkaton, It was that little, I can't remember her name. That Elite Four member. Oh, thank you. I'm not sure about her name either.
Not that either. Everybody remembers Riku.
Yeah. This is off Pokemon.com. Pokemon TCG, Tinkaton EX Battle Deck, and Chen Pao EX Battle Deck are launching. They should have launched on Friday. They should have launched a couple days ago. They are 60-card full decks. One is Tinkaton, one is Chen Pao. You can play right out of the box. You'll get a variety of accessories. You will get a playmat, damage counters, metallic coin, and more. It's the paper playmat. Don't get too excited. The only reason I bring this up is because there was a toy fair thing that happened in New York on Wednesday, so just a couple days ago, and they released a bunch of like Jazzwear stuff and TCG stuff and a bunch of stuff, just a bunch of toys. So if you're looking at your local Target, Walmart, Best Buy, all that stuff, there should be new Pokemon items. Whether or not you care about them, that's up to you, but TCG, plushes, all that stuff. There's just another wave of stuff that just came out. That would be like store exclusive, like Jazzwares plushes aren't on Pokemon Center. They're usually in Targets or Walmarts, Meijer, wherever you get your groceries, Cub Foods. I don't know.
Cub doesn't have him.
Cub doesn't have like a toy aisle, like a single toy.
They don't really have a toy aisle anymore.
That was my favorite part of the grocery store.
They have lots for dogs. And cats, not for kids.
Final bit of news here is the Pokemon launches an official community forum. Title of this article, and it's already a disaster. This is off Nintendo Life. Now, I know what you're saying, listener. You're going to be like, there was already a Pokemon forum. True, kind of. But the Pokemon forum that existed for the last couple years was a support-only forum. It was like there to be like, hey, TCGO is broken. The common response is, you know, when isn't it broken? And then they shut it down. It doesn't exist anymore. Now the new forum is TCG Live is broken. And it's like, it ain't getting fixed anytime soon. For whatever reason, in the year 2023, the Pokemon company decided on Pokemon.com, get together with fellow trainers on the Pokemon Community Forums. This was launched on July 3rd. You can stay up to date with the latest Pokemon news, discuss your favorite Pokemon, and even help the community at large by submitting bug reports for Pokemon TCG Live or Pokemon Unite. I love how that is a bullet point to sign up for their forums.
People are doing it.
Please help us help you fix this terrible product we put out. Please, please play it and let us know which cards are broken. Now, they launched like a general forum. This is the new part of it. You could always go there and be like, hey, my Chen Pao EX isn't working. And then they would be like, that's a known bug. You'd be like, okay. I have a screenshot of July 5th of some of the questions that have been asked in this forum. I don't know if a lot of them are appropriate, but they lasted on the forum for quite a while.
The best one I was able to find when I checked it earlier today on community.pokemon.com was a question of what cake would you bake for Giratina?
Yeah,
I need to know the answer to that. I have, I had the forum up because I was looking at the recent questions.
Yeah, it went from awesome to real boring.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to navigate. It's hard to get past the first page of a lot of the
second page of these forums feels like second page of Google. Why am I here and how did I get here?
Yeah, it went from like the most immature, what can we get away with questions because mods might be asleep. The general, like, if that's like a big Reddit meme of like mods are asleep, post anything. To the most sterile forum experience in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
So they, in the 2 weeks that this happened, they have gotten moderation down to the point where,
it's a communal way to submit bug reports. That's pretty much it.
Although there are still, you have to go pretty deep to find some of the fun ones, like top 10 Pokemon that are most likely to dox you on Twitter. It's a solid thread. That is a solid
couldn't find that one. Didn't
post.
See that one.
I saw like, nice. Which Pokemon do you think are forklift certified? Which is pretty
you'll
good.
Never, you'll never guess who number one is on this list of Pokemon most likely to dox you on Twitter.
I'm going to guess Onix.
Onix isn't even on the list. Growlithe. What?
Growlithe is number one?
Yeah. I mean, Chatot is three, which makes more sense.
Chatot makes more sense.
I would maybe put Squawkabilly up there, too.
Yeah, anything
I feel
that
like he's
talks.
Up to no good.
Mewtwo is 10 and Meloetta is 9. This is just a person who's got a hate agenda going.
We are, as a society, like circling back to early internet days. You can see that with like Threads, which is just, it's just the Facebook wall. It's just early
Facebook.
Yeah, it's
just the Facebook wall. It makes me feel comforted and warm.
Like we went from chat rooms to then forums to then like IRC, then to like Facebook/Twitter, and now we're going backwards.
I mean, we went from the bulletin board system, which is where I started, the good old BBS system, where you would just go and read people's posts because you could just put a thing up and then hope somebody came by and saw it because they dialed your number.
I remember when I was in high school and I was playing a lot of Mario Kart DS, a lot of Animal Crossing Wild World, the good old days. And there was the official Nintendo forums, and I would spend a lot of time on there. And I can just like look back as an adult now to high school Steve wearing a chain wallet, playing Mario Kart DS, wearing JNCO jeans to fit my DS in my pants, and be like, I, as an adult, would never want to interact with that age group on a forum. Like, you're just not getting anything from that. Like, I probably posted, like, oh, Xbox sucks. I love Mario and
as a kid, being in a place with responsible adults can be a good thing. You can learn a whole lot. There are tricky lines to draw there.
The key phrase of your sentence,
I know,
is responsible adults. <I'm>
As a kid, I got along with people who were a few years older than me a whole lot more than I got along with people my own age. Yeah. And I know that there are also young people in our communities here and there.
Yeah, I think
the key is in the earlier wild days is there just were not responsible adults.
Yeah.
Around a lot, really watching what was going. Like when we say the internet was weird back in the day, it's because you had to invest kind of a lot to be able to get into it. It was a very niche thing. Like when I did the bulletin board systems, it was a bunch of nerds you would just make like a story game and then you would put it out there, say, hey, come and interact with my story game. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure. And like you had very specific people. And then you sort of as it became business viable, you'd have the business internet of people using it only for like important things. And then still the weirdos who were like, this is a cool niche hobby. And so there's that time period of where you're running into some of the wildest people I have ever met and some people that I should have never been talking to. Never should be talking to this person. And there was no good gatekeeping. Late 90s internet finally became a thing of people saying, we should really be paying attention to what people are doing and who's talking to each other. Because some of these people should not be talking to kids.
Yeah. And there are a lot of really hard lines to draw there and a lot of places where they're not drawing the lines in places.
They should be.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think forums are it right now. Maybe in like 2 years, forums will be it again. But like,
when the rest of the internet's just robots talking to each other?
I mean, the good thing about forums for an all ages type of feel is how slow it goes and how easier it is to sort of moderate. And because everything's locked in its own thread, like you can just nuke the entire thread. And there's not a lot of like, I'm going to like reply or repost this thread. Like forums are still somewhat easier to control and moderate. So for what they're doing and the audience that they are hitting, forums make sense. It's better than saying, hey, 10-year-old, go to Twitter and find some Pokemon stuff.
Yeah, I think in the sense of like, if I need a question about a specific, like, how does Tropical Beach work? I don't understand the text on the card. I could understand going to a forum and like maybe getting that answer, right? You could also do that in like a Reddit, although Reddit has also decided to self-implode and be a terrible service in the last like month, which is super unfortunate. But like I almost think like Reddit is better than a forum in sense because you can get downvoted, which is both good and bad. But I think the good thing about getting downvoted is like when you just start asking really pointless, silly, like waste of time questions, you kind of get that feedback instantly. Like no one wants this. Whereas like a forum, there's kind of no feedback, right? Like if there's no way to downvote, like somebody could answer your question, or it's like, oh, like who is the cutest Pokemon that I could get on my pillowcase? Like that could just go ignored. Or because somebody could just write Charizard and you'd be like, okay, I guess I'll buy a Charizard pillowcase. Like, I think there is more feedback to a person. Because, like, when I switched from forums to Reddit and I would, like, post something and then it would get upvoted, I would be like, oh, cool. I'll just, like, there's that serotonin hit. I will just post something similar and because people like it. And then if I posted, like, what's your favorite chew? And then on a Pokemon forum space and it got downvoted, it'd be like, oh, okay, I guess we're not talking about that there. Like, there is that kind of feedback.
I mean, there's slight feedback on the forums because things that get more reply, they go back to the front page. Like the things that don't get a lot of replies go into the ether. So there's a little bit of that. And one thing that, you know, that you can kind of see on the forums is you can see how many people have looked at it. So it does do that. Somewhat. I mean, we don't know exactly what their requirements are. Like, if somebody replies, does it automatically go to the front? Does it not? Like, how does their forums actually work? But yeah, they don't have strong direct feedback as far as I can see, other than like somebody replying to this and saying, this ain't it, dog.
But like, is this even worth it to the Pokemon company? Like, they have to now have somebody. I can't imagine this is all getting auto-modded. They have to have somebody looking at these posts.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a hopefully in there.
I mean, they probably have the community moderators that run their other social medias are now required to also keep on top of this. I guarantee you they just said, we're launching the forums and this is now part of your job duty.
Yeah. I mean, I already have problems with Pokemon moderation when it comes to like Twitch.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to gatekeep young people from using the internet. That's not it. Like, we have younger fans in our Discord. We have younger fans in our Slack. And they've been great. But it's also because, like, we have a lot of, like, responsible. Not all of you are responsible. Don't get carried away. We have a lot of responsible people in our community that, like, make that happen. And I have to, like, directly moderate my own, like, Twitch chat, which is a gateway to either, like, Slack or Discord. And I had a situation the other night where somebody came in and they were like, what's your favorite Pokemon? What's your favorite shiny? What's your favorite shiny Pokemon? Like, it was just like question after question. And when you've been on like the internet long enough, you just know that that person happens to be younger because it doesn't, because I've done this song and dance before, but like you give them an answer and like there's no response to that answer. It's just like, okay, next question, right? It's like, please entertain me and only me. I can't see the other 200 people here. I can't read the room. I'm just asking you a question because you're the streamer and I'm the viewer. you know, at a, like when I try to like ask them questions, like, can we like, okay, like I get it. You're probably younger. You keep asking me questions. Let me ask you a question. It's like, we're not having a conversation. Like you mm-hmm. asking me question after question is not a conversation. Let me ask you a question. And it wasn't going that way. And then finally they just like typed exclamation point fart in the chat because they wanted to see if that did anything. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, you know, chill out. Like it's late. Maybe, you know, like, and they didn't come back after the timeout, which is like standard kid behavior, right? They just wanted attention. I didn't give them the attention they wanted. I tried to like have a conversation and they mm-hmm. probably moved on to a different stream. Like, and for the most part, that's kind of why my stream doesn't have a lot of kids. Cause like, I'm not here to babysit. Like if you want to come in and you fit in and you have a good time, great. Awesome. There are kids that know how to read the room and there are kids mm-hmm. that like just watch. They don't need to commentate or entertain. They might say hi. They might say goodbye. I don't know. I look at this forum thing and I'm like, I don't think this is it, but I don't think this is it for a variety of reasons, but I also think like now you've created more work for yourself, Pokemon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I heard about it at first, I thought that maybe this is what they were trying to pivot to because the social internet is dying, but it doesn't even seem like that kind of thing. They're not posting news on there. This nope. place just exists.
It just exists. It just exists for people who want to go there and talk. It does feel very, dated. Like,
yeah,
like 100%. Visiting this thing and I'm like, I remember having to do this because there was nothing else. And this is just what you did. Like, I was part of a huge forum. I met a lot of friends that way. But like, it's not the worst way to sort of start finding a community, but it also feels really dated. A real dated way to find a community.
Yes. And I'm very curious who in Seattle like pitched, hey, we should extend our forum to more general topics. Because they would have had got that approved by like Japan. And is Japan still running on forums? Or are they like, yeah, we know what that is.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I get like, hey, we have fans. They might either use Reddit or Twitter. They might not have a community. They might not have anywhere to go. And they need to ask how Burn works on this specific card. Or maybe they like need to know like what is the best nature for a competitive Arcanine, and this would be a place to ask, and like that makes sense,
but it's not happening.
Yeah, but those situations are not happening at all. It's just like, what's your favorite Pokemon t-shirt?
I mean, I'm trying to look through. I think I found one that's like actually asking a like, hey, how do you do this? Or
there
would
are
this work?
A lot. They're just all in the unanswered questions.
Yeah.
They're just all the ones that nobody's replied to.
Right. Because the people that would apply would probably not have any desire to go there because the other questions push them away. Like, I think the last time I actually seriously used a forum was like a car forum
mm-hmm.
where it was like all car talk, and you could search for a specific issue and you could click it and then you could scroll down and you could see suggestions. And it was actually like really helpful, but I could get probably similar things from like Reddit, because Reddit also like pops up on Google. But like, you would think you would apply the car talk logic of like, I don't know like what brakes to get for my car, and then people are recommending brands and like that is helpful, but like, and I think the things they want are not happening. And if they are, they're not getting answered, which is therefore still not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm on page 5 and I'm still searching for I'm still searching for anything.
Like the front, like I look at the front page and I'm just like, I have no desire to answer any of these questions or to participate in any of these conversations.
Yeah, I mean, I am not the audience for this. Who is the audience? Couldn't tell you.
Like,
somebody.
One of them on the front page is short attention span versus Pokemon.
Yeah.
What does that mean? And then somebody just wrote a novel. I ain't reading that. I ain't got time for that. I'm so confused about the title of this post. Anyways, that's our show for you guys today. I'm sure there is some Pokemon news we missed, but
I mean, they're gonna announce raids at some point, right? The next one
was it Regieleki into something else after Eliki? Oh, you're no, talking about like, Scarlet and Violet.
Scarlet and Violet.
By the time this podcast goes up, they could announce Rillaboom, which would be the last starter in the game code. There are no more starters after this. I keep getting comments of when is Meganium coming. Meganium is not in the game. Never will
These
be in the game.
These are the only starters from now going forward.
You got it in Pokemon Snap. Take what you can get. Actually, I don't know. It could be with DLC. There is the rumor and speculation of Mewtwo being a 7-star raid boss. This should surprise no one because Mewtwo has been a raid boss before in Sword and Shield. To talk about that rumor real quick, the rumor is that a Mewtwo would appear in 7-star raids. We do not know its Tera-type. It would be non-catchable, which is not a surprise because, again, you could not catch it in Sword and Shield. There was also Urshifu, Glastrier, Calyrex, Zeraora. These were also non-catchable raids. The speculation, though, is if you bring a Mew to the raid, the Mew would get the mightiest mark for defeating Mewtwo. This would make sense because Niantic is brought back the shiny Mew questline in Pokemon Go. Also, Mewtwo is coming to Pokemon Unite.
Yep.
Also, Mewtwo would convince people to pick up this game again. The amount of people that are like, I'm going back to Pokemon Unite because of Mewtwo is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like, this is the Pokemon that's bringing people back is Mewtwo, which
and
is like...
there's two of them, which is also weird.
Like, we know that Mewtwo is popular. We know that people love him. He goes crazy in Pokemon Go as well. But, like, to see that wave of people move from, like, Go to Unite, not the same people, but like the wave of excitement go like Mewtwo's coming to Unite. I'm going to boot back up Unite. So like Mewtwo moves. He's moving.
Selling units left and right, making closings, the whole thing. It works the room every time.
So Mewtwo could be next. Rillaboom could be next. We could get nothing. If it is Mewtwo, ideally it sounds like they want you to bring a Mew because like first movie, Mewtwo versus Mew, blah, blah, blah. You get the mark on it. Wouldn't know what to do without Tera-type. Whether that's Psychic, Dark, Steel, I don't know. I don't know what works in that situation. But I'm super worried they're going to do something like that over Worlds. And then it's like, Worlds is happening. This super sold-out event that people can't even get to, like, the parades or the cruise ship or, like, the Pokemon Center. Because it's, like, they should never do Worlds in Japan again. It hasn't even happened, but it is already a mess. Like, I know a handful of people that were planning on, like, still planning on going to Worlds. They don't have tickets for anything. They're just going to show up and be like, this is happening. I can't go to it. I was planning on going to it. I guess I'm just going to do other Japanese things. Like, it is insane. Expected in the sense that, like, Japan loves Pokemon.
When they announced the dates, they should have said it was going to be a raffle system. So that people didn't buy their plane tickets before they knew they weren't going to be able to get in.
Yeah. I feel bad. Like, I know I'm like a Pokemon partner. I know I'm invited. I have no clue what I'm going to. Like, I don't know. Like, they're like, make sure your schedule's open. We'll have events for you. I'm like, do I sign up for the parade? Are you taking me to the parade? If I'm supposed to sign up for the parade, I missed it. I don't know anyone who is going to Japan. I know a lot of other content creators are going to Japan. I don't know a single one that got approved for any of these events. Like the parade, the fireworks show, the concert, the TCG trade ship thing that they're like, I can't find a single person who got like they won their like raffle. Like, I don't know if in the system, I don't know if this is a real thing. I don't know if in the system, like, they prioritize like locals over like because you have to put your address.
Yeah, that would be potentially a lawsuit, but
I feel like it's something they would have to state outright, and if they did, people would have been talking about it.
But out of like, I don't know, like 40 other content creators that are going, most on their own dime, I don't know a single one that got approved for like the six events they all applied for. I didn't even apply for them. They came and went. I was like, oh, that happened? Oh, the raffle's already over?
There are a lot
over?
Of really cool things happening, yeah. But we'll see how much we can learn about them even.
So anyways, Mewtwo, possibly Rillaboom coming to Scarlet and Violet. If they do come, I'll do raid builds, have a Twitch stream, put up a YouTube video.
I'll be fighting Mew versus Mewtwo in Unite when it hits.
That's next week, right, Greg?
They give. The 27th, I think, is when it's hitting for the anniversary date.
Oh, okay. So we wouldn't even know by next podcast. Okay.
No, I'll... Pretty sure it's the 27th is the first one, and the second one sometime in August, I think.
And yeah, probably by the time this episode comes out, Pokemon Sleep will be available anywhere. If you're watching on YouTube, you are already playing Pokemon Sleep, let me know if you bought that $10 a month plan. That would be cool. Or, you know, if you did play it, let me know your first impressions, if you plan on playing it.
July 21st is the first Mewtwo coming. July 21st.
So we should be able to talk about it.
We should be able to.
Okay. Yep. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, feel free to leave a review. Super, super helpful. I haven't said that in a while. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Greg. We will be back next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super ready to fall asleep and find a Pokemon when we wake up. Effective.
For $10?
Nope.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers over on Patreon, starting with Kay, Catherine, Stuart, Tony, Matthew, Casey, Brady, Jessica, Spencer, Brian, Bovine, Steven, Chris, Josh, Fumes, and Yarny. A huge shout out to all of them. If you too would like to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast to support the show, and we will see you next week.